Luke 2:8-12. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
All right. Didn't he do a good job? Let's give him a hand. Yeah. Okay, I got a really, really important question this morning. Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay, I want you to share with me. Raise your hand, all right? I want you to tell me one thing that makes you really, really happy. What?
My cat.
Your cat makes you really happy. What makes you happy?
Your family.
Your family. All right. What makes you happy?
Jesus.
Oh, that is the best answer. What makes you happy?
My dog.
Your dog. What makes you happy, Ren? Your new baby. Ooh, yeah. What makes you happy? Announcement, new baby. All right, here we go.
Praying to God.
What's that?
Praying to God.
Praying to God. You guys have good answers. Okay, one more. What makes you happy? Your family. Hey, did you notice that there is all sorts of different things that make us happy? We had dogs and cats and family and praying and new babies. But do you know what? There is one thing that can make us all really, really, really happy. One thing. In fact, kids, I want you to look around and see how big this room is. Everybody look around, see how big it is. There is something that will make us, everyone in this room, happy. Does anybody know what that one thing is? What is it?
Jesus.
You win. All right, it's Jesus. Yeah. You know the one thing that can make us all happy? The one thing that makes us all happy is that Jesus came down and he came to this earth for us. Now, the question is why should that make us happy? I mean, why should it make us happy that God, that Jesus came down to earth for us? And the reason why it should make us really happy is because of one thing. All right. Everybody put up one finger like this, one thing. You know the one thing that it tells us because Jesus came to earth, it tells us one thing. Here we go, watch this. God loves us. Okay, here's a little exercise. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go like this, you ready? I want you to do it like me. And we go, God loves me. All right, let's say it again. God loves me. One more time. God loves me. And when Jesus came down to earth, it made everybody happy. In fact, that's what this verse says. That was my verse, is up here. That, ready? Here we're going to do one more time. Ready? God loves me. And do you know what? God loves you all the time. All right, watch this. God loves you all the time. Do you know that God loves you when you get up in the morning? Everybody stretch. Oh, like you're getting up in the morning. Oh, you know that God loves you when you get up in the morning. And guess what? God loves you when you go to bed at night. Ready?
Oh, I'm so tired.
He loves you then. And you know what? God loves you when you're happy. Everybody smile. All right, and God even loves you when you are sad. Everybody frown. I know, God loves you then. Now, this is one that might shock you. God loves you when you do good things, but God, even though it makes him a little sad, loves you even when you do bad things. Now watch this, God loves you. God loves you when you're laughing. Everybody laugh. Ready? All right. And God loves you when you are sad and crying. Oh. Yes, God loves you then because guess what? Here we go. Ready? God loves me all the time. Let's say it together. God loves me all the time. And God proved that when he sent his son to come down to earth just for us. So let's try it one more time, and then I'm gonna turn this over to Princeton, because Princeton has something special to tell you too. Ready? Here we go. God loves me. Now here we're gonna do it again. God loves me all the time. Let's try that. God loves me all the time. Princeton, get up here and share with us something else.
Good morning, kiddos. Hey, I want to ask you all, okay, show of hands, tell me how many of you like to play in the water, okay? Okay, I love playing in the water. Okay, now show me how many of you know how to swim, huh? Okay, very good. Okay, very good. Okay, here's something that'll probably be so shocking, okay? I didn't learn how to swim until I was 18 years old, okay? 18 years old. Your parents are probably going to make fun of me for the rest of my life about that, okay? But I didn't learn how to swim until I was 18, and a lot of you already probably swim better than I do, okay? Well, there was this one time, my family and I were at the beach, and I was just a little kid, right? I loved the water, but I didn't really know how to swim. And this huge wave comes and just crashes over all of us, tosses all of us. Well, guess what? It wasn't just me that didn't know how to swim. Nobody in my family knew how to swim either, okay? Brave family we are, yeah? And so it tosses us all down, and then it starts dragging people. And so here's what my dad did, right? He didn't really know how to swim, but he like stood his ground real firm, and he just grabbed my arm, okay, and just waited for the wave to pass, okay? He rescued me. He saved me. Well, after that, I didn't want to get in the water at all, okay? And so, you know, 18, you know, 15, 16 years later, then finally actually learned how to swim. Well, do you remember the story of the disciples of Jesus getting on a boat with him, and then there was this huge storm on the lake? You remember that story? Okay? Okay, raise your hand if you remember that story. You know the story? So Jesus and his disciples are on this boat, okay, after a long day of work, and they're trying to cross over to the other side. Well, this huge storm's whipped up on the lake. Strong winds, and the waves are so big, and the waves start crashing into the boat, and the disciples, they start getting afraid. You remember that? And they start worrying, what's going to happen to us? Maybe the disciples, like me, also didn't know how to swim. Some of them knew how to swim, right? They were fishermen, but they were afraid that they were going to drown. And so they go to Jesus and they wake him up, okay? Look to your brother or sister next to you, okay? Grab them by the shoulders and go, wake up, okay? Wake up, wake up. And they wake up Jesus, and here's what they ask him. They ask him, Jesus, don't you see the storm all around us? We're going to drown. Don't you care that we're going to drown? And do you know how Jesus responded? Do you know what Jesus said? Hey, why are you waking me up from my nap? Right? Is that what Jesus said? No, here's what Jesus did. He got up on the boat. Watch this. Puts his hands up. And you know what he said? Peace, be still. And what happened to the winds and the waves? It all just calmed down. I mean, can you imagine that? Just speaking to the winds and the waves and they listen to you. Right? Just Jesus used his words and calmed the storm. And he rescued his disciples from that huge storm. Well, sometimes the storms aren't out there. The storms are in here, right? Sometimes we have these big emotions that we feel. Maybe it's sadness, or maybe sometimes you might be angry, or maybe you did something you weren't supposed to and you feel guilty, right? When we feel those big emotions, it's like a storm inside us. Well, guess who's there to help in those moments? Jesus is. But also sometimes there might be a problem that you just don't know how to fix. Guess who's there to help you in those moments? Jesus, exactly. And so here's what I want you to remember about Jesus, okay? When there's a storm going on, here's what I want you to remember, okay? Jesus is with us. That's the first thing. Jesus is always with us. He's not far away from us when we're sad, when we're angry, when we're feeling all these big emotions. He's right with us. But he also cares about us. He wants to help us. And the last thing is, he has the power to help you. He has the power to rescue you. Just like my dad that day on the beach just used all his strength to grab me by the arm and hold on to me. That's what Jesus does for us. He grabs onto us and he rescues us and he helps us. Trey is going to come up here in a second and talk to us about how Jesus is our ultimate true king. Come on up, Trey.
So Bill has talked a little bit about God loves you and that gives us joy. And Princeton has talked about how Jesus rescues us and that gives us joy. And I'm going to talk a little bit about how Jesus is king. And I know that some of y'all in your Bible classes have been studying about King David and King Saul and King Solomon. But we're going to talk about the best king of all, and that's King Jesus here in a minute, because he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Now, I don't know what you've ever asked for Christmas, but I remember as a little boy asking for a kind of a big ask, because my family, there were 9 of us. There were 7 kids, and there wasn't always a lot of presents at my house. And I remember one year asking for a very special gift. And I remember my mom and dad going, "Now hold on just a minute. I'm not sure that we can afford something like that." But I asked anyway, and I wasn't sure if I was going to get it. It was going to be my favorite gift. It was the only thing you ever had, that only thing you ever want in your entire life. And if you get it, you'll never want anything else. And you know what it was? It was a bicycle. And you know what? I woke up on Christmas morning, and you know what was out there? It was a bicycle. It was. Now, it wasn't, it was a little bigger than this one, I will tell you that. And this is not the bicycle, but I wanted to show you that it looked like that. And I remember thinking, that's the greatest gift in the world. And then, you know what happened? As I got a little older, I realized that the greatest gift in the world wasn't a bicycle. The greatest gift in the world was Jesus. That it was, he was the greatest gift that God sent to us, because he came and was born on earth, and he grew up and he lived a perfect life, and then he died for us. And he was the perfect and the best gift we ever get. So Luke 2, in the verse that was read a while ago, you remember there were some shepherds out at nighttime in the dark, sitting around a fire. They were probably talking about, we have the most boring job in the world. Nothing ever exciting happens around here. And all of a sudden, the sky just opened up, and these angels started singing, and they were very afraid, and you would have been afraid, and I would have been afraid. And they told them, don't be afraid. And they said, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all people, because in the town of David, a Savior has been born. And he is the Messiah, and he is the Lord. He is the King, the good King, the best King. And those shepherds said, let's go see this. And they went. And do you remember? The angel said, you're going to find this new king laying in a manger. That would have been a feeding trough where they would have fed animals. And it would have been in probably a cave was where they had spent the night. And Mary had baby Jesus. And he was wrapped up in swaddling clothes. And the shepherds went and they saw and they took it all in, and they were so glad that they got to see everything of the new king that came, and it gave them such great joy. You know, we talk all the time about who is the greatest. If you're a basketball fan, your mom and dad, your dad probably talks about, is it Jordan or is it somebody else? Or if you're a football fan, is the greatest quarterback, is it going to be Mahomes someday? Is it going to be somebody else? The greatest of all greats is always going to be Jesus. He is the greatest of all time. And that gives us joy. So let me show you what we've got today that I want to share with you for just a second. In these bags up here, you will find a little ornament that says joy. And you'll find, for when you get home, a little paint set where you can paint your little joy And you can put it on your tree, this little ornament, to remind you that Jesus brings you joy. And he brings you joy because he loves you, and because he rescues you, and because he is king. And there also is in there one of those things right there. So we're going to let Princeton and Mr. Bill come up and help us hand these out. And you kiddos can come down here and get one of these. Come on. Come this way. There you go. There you go. Good job. Just a second. Here go, Shepherd. Okay. And y'all can go, but after you get your sack, y'all can go sit back down. Nope, no names.
Can I get one of my brother? He doesn't want to come back.
Well, you can give it to somebody who does.
All right.
Do you want to get here?
I do.
Can I have one?
Yeah.
All right, here you go. Who needs one? There you go. I love your hand.
Get one right there.
Can I have two?
Oh, let's wait for a second, okay? Let's see if we have enough. Wait, right there. Yes.
So I can have two?
Let's wait for just a second, okay? I was beginning to think there were more kids than sacks. I was worried that we were going to say, if you didn't get a sack, Mr. Bill will give you a sucker or something along those lines.
My two sisters want
okay.
One too. So
there you go. Yes. All right, now if you didn't come down and get one and you're back here, you can come down after services and pick one up, all right? Very good. Isn't it a blessing? I hope you realize what it is to have so many children as a part of this congregation. It is an absolute blessing, because children not only mean that there is a future, and that there are things to come, and that the church will continue, and that the kingdom will continue. But they bring life, and it's just such a blessing to have so many kids. And we've added so many kids this year, and we have new babies, and we have babies on the way. And we're just so excited about our children's program. And thank you for letting us spend a few moments this morning talking to our children and just spending a little time focusing on our children and our kids and our young families. It is a special opportunity that we can do this. So I want to conclude for just a moment with just something I want you to catch. I hope you have your Bible open in Luke 2. And I want you to note something this morning. If I could give you as adults a challenge this morning, I want you to note down here for a second. We'll just start in verse 16 and read for a second. So the shepherds have come and they've seen Jesus. They've seen the story. They've seen what's happened. They realize the angels were telling them what was going to happen, and they got to see something very special. And it says in verse 15, when the angels left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and let's see what happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and they saw Mary and Joseph and the baby who was laying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said, to them. Did you notice right there in verse 17, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told. So when you find out about Jesus, and when you find out who he is and what he's come for, that he is the king, and that he did come to earth to love us and to rescue us and to bring us joy, you can't help but do what they did and go tell other people about him. And honestly, if you don't find yourself talking about Jesus and how good he's been and how good God has been to you, you may yet have come to the understanding of exactly the gift Jesus really, really is. He is the greatest gift. He's the greatest thing that was ever sent our direction. And I love the fact that Bill had mentioned specifically about God loves us. And I know as adults sometimes we can tend to think, but I've messed up a lot. I've made mistakes. And you know what? God still loves us. And we think sometimes can God love me when I've done this, or can God love me when I've done that? God still loves you. He doesn't want you to live that life. He doesn't want you to make mistakes. But sometimes we do. But I love the fact that we have a God that loves us. Maybe one of the greatest theological statements that's found outside the Bible, word for word, is this quote: Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I remember being in the home of a friend of mine by the name of Jerry Klein. Jerry is one of the smartest men I ever knew. Knew the Bible, understood Greek, just brilliant, brilliant man. And I remember being in his home, and I looked over on his refrigerator. And on his refrigerator, the only magnet that he had up there, the only thing he had on his refrigerator, was the quote of, Jesus loves me, this I know. And I remember asking him, why you got that up there? And he said, because you can never, ever get too old. You can never study too much. You can never, whatever it is in life, to stop believing and thinking that no matter what, Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I remember thinking, man, if the smartest man that I know thinks that is the best quote outside the Bible about the Bible, then maybe that's probably a pretty good thing to remember. We're going to sing an invitation song this morning. And if you're here and you just need prayers of encouragement, maybe you have a specific prayer request, maybe something's come between you and the Lord, maybe you just need to just say, hey, I need you to pray about something specific in my life, we'd love to do that this morning. We're going to sing an invitation song. And if you want to come share that this morning, we'll be happy to pray with you. If you're not a Christian, if you've never confessed Jesus as Lord, and if you've never given him your life and been baptized, those are all things the Bible teaches that God wants us to do. We want to encourage you to do that. Maybe you need to understand a little more. Maybe you're going, I just don't quite understand how that works. We'd be happy to study with you and visit with you more about that. But we're going to sing an invitation song at this time. If you're here this morning and need to respond, would you come as we stand and sing this song?